I'm Maria Titizian.
And I'm Rubina Margosyan, and this is The Week in Review.
Every week, we bring you the stories shaping Armenia and the region.
From politics and policy to social issues and conflict, we break down the news and what it means for you.
This week in the news, Armenia's Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan attends Victory Day celebrations in Moscow. Armenian lawmakers warn of potential Russian interference in the 2026 parliamentary elections. And UNHCR announces suspension of its operations in Azerbaijan. These stories and more in our weekly roundup of the news.
Armenia's Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan went to Moscow to take part in the Victory Day celebrations and the military parade marking the end of World War II. While the Prime Minister attended the parade, Armenia's military personnel did not participate in the parade itself. Military personnel from 13 other countries, however, did, including from Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan's President Ilham Aliyev cancelled his participation days before the event, saying he will be participating in domestic events dedicated to his father, Haydar Aliyev. Azerbaijani media reported on some details, saying that Ilham Aliyev and his wife were in Shushi participating in the opening of a wellness center and breaking ground for the construction of a residential complex. And explaining his decision to travel to Moscow, Pashinyan said it wouldn't be right to skip such a visit as they offer important opportunities for bilateral meetings and discussions. When asked whether attending events like this could harm Armenia's relations with the West, the Prime Minister emphasized that Armenia is pursuing a balanced foreign policy, one that doesn't build new partnerships at the expense of existing ones. He noted that this approach has never implied avoiding visits to Russia or halting the development of ties with Moscow.
Well, just before Prime Minister Pashinyan's trip to Moscow, members of his political team were raising concerns about possible Russian interference in Armenia's 2026 parliamentary elections. Former Health Minister Arsen Torosyan claimed this week that Moscow wants to install a government in Armenia that will serve its interests and follow its lead, rather than one that, in Torosyan's words, works to strengthen Armenia's sovereignty and independence, as the current administration is trying to do. Parliament Speaker Alen Simonyan had voiced similar concerns earlier, saying that Russia is seeking regime change in Armenia and is even investing financial resources to make it happen. He accused Russia of waging a hybrid war against Armenia. Simonyan pointed to Russian TV broadcasts discussing regime change in Yerevan and promoting upcoming opposition rallies. Meanwhile, during her weekly press briefing, Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova dismissed Simonyan's remarks as perplexing aggressive rhetoric. She argued that there is no hybrid war underway, noting that Armenia's prime minister accepted the invitation to participate in Victory Day celebrations in Moscow, and that regular contacts are taking place between the two governments, including at the highest levels and through foreign ministries. According to Zakharova, the relationship remains focused on cooperation. This includes in many different spheres, economy, political, etc. She concluded by saying no evidence had been presented and dismissed the claim of Russian interference in Armenia, simply parroting what she called the Brussels playbook.
And this week, Defense Minister Suren Babikyan was in Greece for an official visit. He met with his Greek and Cypriot counterparts and took part in the DEFEA 2025 International Defense Exhibition in Athens. Bilateral defense cooperation was high on the agenda in talks with both ministers, along with broader regional and international security issues. For the first time, Armenia's Ministry of High-Tech Industry participated in the defense exhibition with a national pavilion, giving Armenian companies a platform to showcase their products, services, and tech innovations. 16 Armenian organizations were involved this year, 12 exhibiting and 4 attending as visitors. The exhibition that is held every 2 years brings together defense industry players from across Europe, North America, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. Participants present systems for land, sea, air, cyber, and national security, making it a key event for defense tech and strategic collaboration. Greece has emerged as one of Armenia's key partners in its pursuit of defense diversification efforts, particularly following the 2020 war and the 2022 Azerbaijani incursion into Armenian territory.
This week, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, the UNHCR, announced it was suspending its operations in Azerbaijan. While no official explanation was given, the decision is widely viewed as part of a broader pattern of Baku distancing itself from international organizations. The UNHCR's exit comes on the heels of several other closures. On May 2, the UN Development Program ended its work in the country soon after the UN Population Fund also shut down operations. Earlier this year, in March, the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, closed its Azerbaijan office. Meanwhile, the trials of former Artsakh leaders and other detainees are continuing in a military court in Baku, behind closed doors and without independent legal or media access. Human rights lawyer Siranush Sahagian told local media this week that international observers have attempted to gain access to the proceedings, but those efforts have not only failed, some individuals have faced persecution by Azerbaijani authorities for trying. While she withheld names to avoid endangering them further, Sahagian said the individuals had been interrogated, closely monitored, and subjected to intimidation tactics by security forces. Sahagian also noted that since the only information about the trials is publicized by Azerbaijani state-controlled media, it is impossible to independently verify the information disseminated by Azerbaijani state media, which often releases fragmented information and only days after the actual trials.
And Azerbaijan continues to maintain tension along the border. On May 7, Armenia's defense ministry reported that Azerbaijani units opened fire towards the village of Khanatzakh in the Sunik region, damaging the roof of a residential house. No casualties were reported. The ministry once again called on Azerbaijan to investigate the incident and provide a public explanation. Beyond this targeted shelling, residents of Khanatzakh, as well as the nearby village of Khosnava, report hearing gunfire almost every night, usually starting around 10 p.m. and lasting for several hours. Armenia's defense ministry, however, notes that it only reports ceasefire violations when there is clear targeting. Security of the Secretary of the Security Council, Armen Grigoryan, told reporters this week that Armenia has submitted information to Baku through diplomatic channels regarding ceasefire violations by Azerbaijan and expects a thorough investigation in response. Yerevan has also formally requested that Baku provide evidence supporting its own claims of ceasefire breaches by Armenia. Grigoryan also said Armenia has already investigated all the incidents cited by Azerbaijan and has shared its findings with Baku. According to him, Armenia's investigation has concluded that overall there have been no such violations.
And in local news, Armenia's parliamentary opposition is once again considering an attempt to impeach Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan. The latest push comes from opposition activists Edgar Ghazaryan and Narek Malyan, who have formed a civic initiative called We Are Awake, Artuneng. And they sent letters to opposition MPs urging them to initiate the no-confidence process. The I Have Honor Alliance says it supports the move and is ready to begin discussions around a potential candidate for prime minister. While they don't currently have a nominee, they say they've even prepared to back former President Robert Kocharyan if it helps move the process forward. According to Armenia's constitution, at least one-third of MPs must back a no-confidence motion, and it must include a replacement candidate for it to be considered. However, the Armenia Alliance, led by Kocharyan, doesn't believe the motion is realistic at the moment. They've stated that while they're willing to contribute their 28 signatures, the initiators of this movement, if you will, must first secure the additional 8 needed to meet the constitutional threshold and also demonstrate that they can mobilize public support. Between them, the two opposition factions control 34 seats in parliament. They need 36 signatures to bring the motion forward and at least 54 votes for it to pass. Meanwhile, Hovig Aghazaryan, a member of parliament expelled from the ruling Civil Contract Party, who apparently Rubina has formed a new party because we needed another new party called the United National Socialist Party, very apt for today, I guess, says his new party may be the one to initiate a no-confidence process. Fellow expelled MP Hagop Aslanian is also a member of this new party. Aghazaryan said the party's board will make a decision by the end of the week. While he declined to name a candidate, he didn't rule himself out, naturally, right? Because everybody puts themselves forward as a candidate. So he didn't rule himself out, Aslanian or another another figure as a possible nominee for prime minister.
That much from parliament, not talking about the altercations from the last.
It seems to be a weekly thing lately, doesn't it, in parliament? Right, because an opposition MP asked Prime Minister Pashinyan about reports in the media regarding corruption cases and so on and so forth, and Pashinyan sort of...
Snapped,
if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's all everyone's been talking. A lot of people are snapping lately, so we'll see how it all plays out. I think it's, you know, elections are 13, 14 months away. People are already, you know.
These are the first flowers.
as we say in Armenian. Yes. Yeah.
Well, this week, 9 police officers were arrested in Echmiadzin following a special operation by Armenia's anti-corruption committee. They're accused of concealing a crime and falsifying official documents. The arrests are part of an ongoing criminal investigation, and therefore no further details have been released.
And, you know, it's been a quiet week in terms of the news, Rubina. I mean, although, there, like you mentioned, the altercations and so on and so forth, but it's been mostly quiet. So as always, we'll talk about the articles that we published this week. The one that we did today actually is called Hijacking History, Baku's Western Azerbaijan Campaign. It's by Armina Dikranyan, who's written for us before about, you know, the cultural destruction of Armenian heritage that's taking place in Artsakh. She now focuses her attention on Azerbaijan's Western Azerbaijan campaign that uses fabricated historical claims and cultural appropriation to assert territorial ambitions over Armenia this time. She traces the roots, tactics, and international reach of this campaign of historical revisionism and cultural erasure.
And we published a piece from Maria Kungo. This is part of her column, Outside In. It's almost been 20 articles there.
This is number
19. It's called Sisian, Where Mediocrity Meets the Sublime. A work trip to Sisian unfolds from a dreary mediocrity into an unexpected revelation through the evocative paintings of Armen Hakobjanian. Sisian's stark landscape transforms, revealing a timeless beauty hidden beneath the town's crumbling surfaces and quiet melancholy.
This was a very poetic
description to the article, but the article is a little itself poetic and, you know, looks beyond the surface
of
what we see.
Absolutely. Nari Khachaturian, who's a curator here in Armenia, wrote a piece called Unpacking Victory, a curatorial response to war. It's about an exhibition called Victory Over the Victory that's taking place in Sweden. But one of the curators of that exhibition is Sona Stepanian, along with Natasha Domberg. They create a space for dialogue and they look at, you know, war and its legacies in bringing together global artists to challenge these war narratives and explore memory, trauma, and resistance.
And we've had an opinion piece by Gayet Minasyan this week. It's called Putting an End to Celestial Armenia. Well, he basically taking a look at where this idealized celestial Armenia that's above the day-to-day and more programmatic Armenia started from, and how it persisted, and who are the carriers of that dream or that Armenia, and what works and what doesn't work with this idealized celestial Armenia.
Yeah, and it's created a lot of conversations.
It definitely has created a lot of conversation.
But definitely something to look into. And another article column that sort of precipitated a lot of discussion this week is Sheila Pailan's Unleashed. It's called Pride and Nemesis. And she's gone quite political in this week's one. Because usually, you know, it's
I'm telling you, everyone's preparing
for the elections. Well, what she's saying is that, like, in the face of these concessions to Azerbaijan that Armenia has been announcing that it's ready to do, she's saying that Armenia risks trading dignity for an illusionary peace and explores the fine line between pragmatism and surrender, and why national self-respect must never be, you know, collateral. And again, people were like, a lot of opinions.
And these two pieces by, you know, Guides and Sheila don't necessarily agree with each other, but
no,
they're
both
opinion pieces.
Yeah. And we write a lot of things. We publish a lot of things we don't necessarily agree with, but it's about the public discourse. And, yeah, I hope people see that. Sometimes they get all, you know,
Beyond the public discourse and unrelated to the elections that were anticipated, we published itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the period of May 5 until the 14th. It looks at what's happening in Yerevan culturally, exhibitions, festivals, mm-hmm. things to go to, things to avoid even sometimes. as we always remind, it's a curated selection, mm-hmm. listicle by Vigen Galistian. And take a look. There's a lot of interesting things happening.
But coming back to the political, I also did a podcast for examining the context with Nerses Kopalyans. It's based on his latest security briefing called Subversion and Electoral Interference, Russia and Armenia's 2026 elections. And he does a deep dive into, you know, and does a comparative analysis with what happened in Moldova. Of course, we know this happened in Romania. It also happened in the U.S. in 2016. So we sort of look at Russia's evolving strategy.
And I would definitely say Zakharova would disagree because...
to undermine Armenia's democracy, focused on hybrid tactics, electoral interference, and soft power ahead of these elections. And he looks at how this could shape Armenia's political future and societal resilience. And so, yeah, you can take a listen on that and also read the security briefing that we published last week.
And this week also, last weekend, after the last weekend review, we still continued to publish some mm-hmm. pieces for our SALT section, mm-hmm. Lifestyle section. We published a piece called The Martini, which is...
I loved your graphic, Rubina, by the way.
Thank you. Well, the reviewer is looking for Yerevan's best martini and takes a look at three bars.
Right.
And describes in a little bit too much detail.
lyrical prose,
the martinis and the process and what was wrong and the ratings from each bar, including, you know, 4.75 out of 5. It was an interesting read. It mm-hmm. was very fun to illustrate as well.
So look for more cocktail reviews right. in the future.
Sure.
And
another one we had mm-hmm. about Lent, which we...
I forgot about that.
Which I was personally excited about.
Yeah, the traditions of Lent.
Yeah, because Armenia. I get to, you know, order freely during mm-hmm. Lent in Yerevan, as I've said before.
As a vegetarian.
But the piece looked more into kind of the tradition and mm-hmm. how it's evolved over time.
Indeed. And that's the kind of week we've had here in Armenia. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and peaceful weekend, and we will be back again next week.